Hey, you there. Get down. There's a tribe of very aggressive orcs just over there. The talisman has guided us here, so they probably have something that'll look rather nice on my mantelpiece. Possibly in that temple. I think we should probably wait for nightfall. You take first watch, and I'll continue with the moves at large.
Hello, and welcome back to the LARP New Podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
So we went LARPing.
Went LARPing again, right?
Yeah.
So I'm Dave. We're here with Ian, who you know.
Hello. Yep.
And we're also here with our friend Bungle, who...
Hello.
Yeah. Hopefully, the recording setup we have isn't exactly built for three people, so hopefully this will be bearable. Please let us know. But yeah, Bungle's been a friend of ours. He came with us to
E1.
Yeah. And then basically, he's been jonesing ever since.
Yeah.
Until
I mean,
we now
miss out on E2.
I had to miss out on E3 because initially me and Dave were going to do E2.
That was it. Yeah,
you. But then you had to go to the States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I moved my booking to E4 because I can do E3 because I was away already.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, oh god, I need more love.
Yeah.
The hype between events is ridiculous.
Hype is the wrong word for it because like if you haven't been LARPing yet, which we hopefully that we've convinced you it's a good idea and find a LARP, but it can be excruciating not to be. You're just like, what can I do to fill this time between events, right?
I tell you what it kind of is. It's kind of like you have this alternate world that you're a part of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like having that is like it's almost like reminiscent of those real joyous times of like having. If you're like an internet persona or something like that, you know, those real kind of bits where you're just like, yeah, like this is a different world that I inhabit and that, and it's really fun and I can't wait to get back to it. And it's kind of interesting to dip in and out where you get to sort of be your character for a bit and then exist in that world for a little bit.
Yeah. I think part of it has to do with, I'd never feel like I've got my full money's worth when I go. And that's not a reflection on the event. That's like on me not being able to get enough done, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. All right. So pre-LARP, right? This is the pre-LARP show. Let's talk about pre-LARP things. Oh, one thing I wanted to go through, which is, this is just like narcissistic podcast stuff, but
we're obsessed with the stats.
I mean, basically when you run a podcast, you get all these like information on who's listening, where they're from, you know, like, and all this junk that you get with it, right? So one thing that we've had, which is we've got loads of people in the UK, which is amazing. Everyone, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Obviously, people don't even attend LARP in the UK, which is interesting, right?
Yeah.
And then not only that, but we have people in different countries listening to the podcast now.
I know. Okay? It's so weird.
20% of all of our downloads are from the United States.
Wow.
And one state in particular is rocking the stats. Which is Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going on in Pennsylvania.
What's going on in Pennsylvania?
But no, it's really good fun. I think, you know, as we said kind of in a previous one, I think the podcast kind of nicely fills that sort of bit where it kind of keeps our minds busy and in that world a little bit because you need something.
Before we move on, just one more thing. I want to shout out to the one guy or girl that's downloading it in New Zealand, Georgia. Oh, where was the other one? Get the odd country where clearly just one person in the whole country listens to us. I love that. It's amazing.
Like Pyongyang in North Korea.
That's what it is. Exactly. Like Kim Jong-un or whatever's listening to it. Yeah. The only one with the internet. Pre-LARP. What do you got going on pre-LARP?
So a big thing for me was, well, two things really. The first was my kit. Like my character with all of his different sort of roles in battle and stuff. Like, you know, having the... all the medical stuff, all the archery stuff, a back quiver, all of that kind of business. I just found I was really struggling with like how to physically orientate myself around my kit.
You looked like you were like having to you were over encumbered with all your stuff, right?
So I managed to basically transition everything from my I had like a satchel before, basically, I had to kind of carry around with me. So from that and like massive belt pouches and things, I transitioned that all into like a chest bandolier of like just bandages, herbs, fake blood, all that kind of goodness. So it's like now I just moved all of that. I've always had that. All
right.
But so it's just been good to transition all that on the chest and then I don't have to worry about anything like that.
You look a lot more streamlined.
It's generally so much better. So, and then I moved my quiver. I made a hip quiver. That is, that's what I always wanted to do, is just getting around and actually sitting there and sewing it and making it yourself.
Yeah, also, I like the way it adds to your costume a lot. Like, you look a lot more like a combat medic now, right? Like, it's you look like you're ready to go, and you are.
So. I try and play this kind of, like, a mobile role moving around the field, and when we get to things later on, it's good. I have a great time being my character.
I enjoyed
it. But the crafting side of stuff is just great. I mean, I really enjoy crafting, and I wish I spent more time doing it, to be honest with you. Like, I find I kind of wrestle it into sort of time slots, and I just want to do more of it, because it just keeps my mind, keeps my hands busy. And it's so cool, like, with my stuff, like, I know it's all stuff I've made, you know, so it kind of instantly gives me, like, a little bit more connection to it.
The ownership of it, like, I find there's gonna be a lot of maybe crafting chat in this one, because we met a lot of people that also make stuff, and it's like, I think it feels like something that just is really good to fill time, right? Like, remember when we were talking about at the start, where you want to do something? Well, I think crafting stuff. Like, I made bracelets, for God's sake.
Yeah.
What? You know? But I happily made them, and it was a great time, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
They're still available, so if anyone wants to buy any, then let me know. Bang, what you got going on? What was...
mine was just... Obviously, between E1 and E4 was a massive period of time.
I couldn't even imagine that gap.
Because I was jonesing to just go, basically. And basically, spent majority of my time like reading the forums and Facebook pages. It's like, literally, I'm checking pretty much every update across the Empire Lab Navarre, the Stand Empire Lab, the new player one.
Yep.
And also the photo forum as well. It's just always great. Yeah, it's really great.
Oh, the photo one. Like, what I like about that is Ian is like a photo hound.
Yeah.
If you take a picture at Empire, Ian will see it if it's on the internet, you know.
I literally
like,
go through them all.
The amount of out of focus shots of my face blurred in the background, you've tagged me in it.
But when you get one, it's like
you almost look like an SAS member. Like, it's your eyes blurred. It's a sword in front of his eyes.
Like you're like a Russian agent on the news. This is the only known picture of him, and it's like this blurred background picture.
I think my favorite one from E1 is when I'm just completely my face is completely obscured by Darius's spear.
So
you can see the rest of me, but then just the spear, just like none of my face.
Yeah,
like awesome. People who know him had to identify him kind of pictures.
Well, I found you guys in one picture for this event, and that was like I was fucking and one of the guys that we went with, Dave, was like one of the guys we mentioned in the first episode, and he actually came for his first LARP this time around. He said to me, oh man, like because I had one good picture of me, which is fucking amazing, by the way, and I haven't got the name of the art that, who did the picture, do you remember?
I think that was Oliver Farsi, I think.
Yes, called. That was it, yeah. Oliver. And he has a thing where if you pay £1, then you get a high-definition image of that picture.
Yeah.
And I paid him £1. I probably won't have a need for the high-definition because every time you put it on Facebook,
it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it still looks good, though. Yeah. But the £1 just for having the photo done, like, amazing.
You should get it framed, man. You should actually get it printed and framed and just have that little narcissism.
No, I just...
I would, if I had a picture that good, I would. Mm.
Yeah.
I think it looks great. Like, all my pictures, I'm always, like, the second person in the shot. You know what I mean? Which is great. I'm actually in a lot of photos.
I know what's going to happen. For my birthday, you're going to get me, like, a giant...
narcissism.
10-foot, like, canvas frame of it.
One thing that was... we'll sort of talk about it more in the actual LARP itself, but the photographers are great, and having them as a resource.
Rock.
Like... And even when they're on the field, I mean, again, we'll get to that when we talk about the event itself. But like, I wanted to highlight them. Like, they're amazing. Like, the work they do.
It's the best medium to try and get a feeling for what LARP is like is photos.
Yeah, but artistically and creatively chosen and selected photos.
Exactly. There's what's the, is it Beth something?
Beth Duna. Yeah.
God, her stuff is like when she does a short set on one of the Facebook groups or whatever of like this is just some. And they're like, holy moly. They tell like story, if she does edit them or not, I don't know, but they look amazing, you know?
Tom's ones are really good as well. I can't remember his surname, but yeah, he does fantastic, like really artistic shots.
Yeah.
There's this one.
They tell a story, right?
One of the players from Crimson Skies, who are the Eurozen group that I've kind of got links to. And one of their shots of one of the characters from there just looks absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, she's her outfit and all the colours are just perfect. You know, just he's even like usually, faded the tones of the picture in.
A lot of the pictures also, they're capturing a moment of actual RP. Mm-hmm. There's not just people standing around in these costumes doing something. It's like they're in a moment of actually living that. And it's just freaking cool.
It's great. Yeah. But yeah, no, so the photographs are always really cool.
Yes, yeah, so basically that is what I've been up to, just like getting my fill by vicariously living through everyone else who's actually been able to go.
The honestly, the social media addiction side of this is really bad. A few videos that I actually enjoy watching. What's the Van Man called?
Oh, I can't remember, but yeah, he's great.
Rick Van Man, I think it's called. And he does these, he's a really like sweet, like straight up honest guy. And he kind of does these little vlogs. It's mainly just him talking to camera at different stages throughout his LARP experience. But like when you listen to us, we're only going to give you our story in LARP, right? And it's
there's so many stories going on with it.
Yeah,
right?
There's like ours is there are lots of different ways to play the game, let me put it that way. And your personality or what you want to do will change a lot of things to do that. So so what else we got here? I've had a very busy year, and I've been to-ing and fro-ing from the States a lot. So just before the LARP, I went away to New Mexico and Colorado, right?
Right.
Just before I went to the LARP. I flew back on the Thursday, day before.
Wow.
But the entire time I was out there, I kept thinking about
the LARP.
LARP. And I was
you were messaging me all the time about it.
Yeah, do you know what I was thinking of? Like a Westworld LARP. Yeah. My vision in my head is ridiculous. I mean, it would take a lot, like,
mega budget.
Yeah, if I win like the Euro Millions or something, then you can all come along and just entertain me by freezing all in a position if you're a robot, and then have people having conversations around you while they walk around. It's gonna be awesome. But I didn't really get that much bad jet lag. But the reason why I mentioned me going to New Mexico is, and I was in Colorado, I was at altitude.
Right.
So I went from high altitude doing loads of hikes straight into LARP.
Right.
Man, my energy levels, we'll get to that, but it was a lot. Right, so are we done pre-LARP?
Well, I've got like the other big thing for me that I wanted to do pre-LARP was think about what if my character dies. And I kind of thought about this a lot. I was like, Talus is the kind of character who is going to get himself killed at some point. He's like that sort of...
Yeah, the last one.
That kind of archetype, right?
We hammered on the last one about how we thought you were all going to die. Like,
and if you look, like, I've been venomed in seconds from death and, like, almost died another time. Sorry.
No, that's another thing. Like, I think on the build-up to this one, me and you were talking a lot about how Ian is going to be getting himself killed somehow.
Yeah, it's a question of time. It's not.
I was certain I was going to die this time.
Hmm.
You know, I was certain I was going to die, and it like so. Basically, I thought, what's the best thing if I die? Like, because only obviously there's a budget of your own kit again and everything. It's like I'm not going to have all of that. So I thought, you know, I need to have something that's visual and cheapish that I can do to represent that I am a different character should I die. Mm-hmm. So I thought the best way to do that is look at the lineages. So and I thought. And you talked about having your second character potentially be lineage.
Okay, lineage is where you have your nations and empire, and they're all the nations of the empire. But then a subset of that, and you can be any nation and do this, you can have a lineage, which is basically you are some sort of special...
You're human, but you have like a link, like almost like an elemental link.
So like with an example with would be thing
like knight or something.
A Cambrian... has horns, but he also is like, isn't he like mood changes quickly?
That's because there's the changeling, isn't there?
Yeah, there's the changeling and the Cambrians. The changeling has
antlers.
Oh, interesting.
And then the Cambrian is the one which like more like demonistic.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense for the people I've met and seen. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know what the traits are for the antler people?
You were looking at Cambrian, weren't you? Which is the
the one because I've actually 3D printed out a set of ram horns ready.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Well, that's the thing.
So, dude, you should sell those.
Well, no, because if you change character or what, you know, if that happens, it's good to. I mean, if that's what you're looking at doing.
Yeah,
I thought about my new character, but I hit a fucking brick wall.
Yeah,
I couldn't see it.
So for me, it was basically I thought, well, I'll go a thing which is like called a naga, which is like a kind of a snake, bird kind of cockatrice kind of sort of aspect.
Why?
Yeah. I got the spoiler on this because I saw him post and asking questions about it in the Empire.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Face talk.
And
I
was like, and the whole point was I wanted to keep it secret as well, right? I wanted to keep
you're
it
such,
so...
What? You're such a sneaky...
It's so funny. I just got like, Ian Pittick has posted in...
Yeah.
In what? Oh, I was like, oh, has he now?
No, because I was like, if I die, right, I want it to be impactful in some way. So I thought, well, you know, it would be kind of cool just to suddenly emerge as this other character who is a lineage character and is very obviously a different person to who you were talking to before. And right. I think that was the thing. The lineage is like a really cheap way in a sense, although you can take it really expensive and awesome, by the way. But it's a cheaper way of like saying like this is a different person because he's not a pure human or whatever. I mean, so that was kind of cool.
I have no interest in being a lineage at the moment.
No.
None. It's really interesting that you guys are doing
I
it.
I was really, really, really tempted to go Briar with my first character.
Oh, I would
But then I read your backstory and I was
exactly.
like...
Exactly.
Yeah, let's not go Briar. I mean,
that's maybe for later on. That's maybe for later on, that interaction.
Yeah, I reckon if I get killed by the militia... Actually, no, I'm not going to say that. After last event, I could get killed by the militia for a lot of things. If Anne is still getting to grips with being part of the Empire.
But yeah, so that...
We'll discuss that later.
Yeah.
That was a massive thing. And I guess... So basically it was just getting loads of makeup and stuff together. And also we wanted to improve the whole tattoos and stuff.
I almost wish you had died. I mean, Jesus.
Well, no, but it was like...
No, like, now, right? Because that would have been awesome.
No, yeah.
But like, it was also getting stuff that was better for our tattoos and things. So it all fell into that. So I literally got myself a little makeup box.
Yeah, the makeup box is awesome.
Yeah, and you've got some amazing kind of like eyeliner pens.
Yeah, the felt that the brush tip eyeliner pen. That was like Fiverr from Amazon.
And then with my fixing agent spray on top, just, actually works
well. We've learned a lot about makeup, haven't we, chaps?
Yeah. I'm actually toying with getting... There's ones which are alcohol activated.
Right.
As well, which basically like they're like look like a tray of watercolors.
Okay.
But you use a little bit of alcohol to actually activate it, and then you can paint it on, and then again it stays on really, really well. This is one that's really mentioned a lot, especially in like the forum and
Facebook.
Yeah, we definitely stepped our tattoo game up this time.
Massive. Well, even like we took a mirror, right? Which seems like such an obvious thing, but we actually took a mirror, and we weren't like doing it on camera phones like idiots. You know,
well, and
like,
also,
it only took us three events.
Bung went first, and Bung is quite you have an artistic he eye, does. My friend. That was very, I like it. Was immediately like, that's how it should be fucking done.
That's one who's actually done it in the mirror before coming
I'm
to the event.
No,
like me.
I'd never done it on my face.
Okay.
So that was just natural raw talent.
I was sitting at work, and basically, I sketched out that rough design, but and I knew I wanted it to curve around the eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically, I'd sketched out a plan for it, and had that in one of my pads at work and just been sort of like, yeah, I could do that easily on my face.
Yeah, it was great. It was more like kind of like, unlike ours, but more like twigs with vines on.
But
like his was like...
The fawns that you made were just like...
But it was much chunkier and more kind of
more
textured.
Bold.
Yeah.
We kind of just
drew
penciled
a line, right?
The line, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like those, even just adding a second line to make it obviously larger, appear larger, is just, it's a tiny little touch.
The thing with those, with that... thing, if you're not used to using like a brush tip, I mean, you do a lot of graphic drawing and stuff, so you've probably used brush pens as well,
yeah.
And with those, like, you could if you go really lightly, it's just a very thin line you'll get, but
if you pushed hard
and also make sure you sort of drag the brush around.
Yeah, I tried, and
cool thing, like real simple stuff that I think really helps with makeup and stuff, if like and face tattoos and stuff like that carry through, is an idea of like taking it from one zone of the face to another. So for example, drawing a line that goes from above your eye and then continues below your eye. And if you do that, I think it sort of unifies more of your face together, and it's still just a line, right? If you just drew that one single line above your eyebrow, it would look very different and it wouldn't kind of unify the design as much. So I found that is a really good way of thinking of it.
Yeah,
is try and join two zones of your face together.
Oh man, I need to. I need to get a pen and paper out and just start.
Just get some shit. I mean, I'm happy to draw on everyone else's faces if they want me to.
Yeah, I think it's actually better if someone else does it just for the steadiness of the hand.
Well, so but sometimes, but you don't want to be in a situation where I have to get my shit together and Bung isn't here to do it, right? You need to be self-sufficient.
But like, I don't mind if I'm there, I don't mind.
Yeah. You can help each other.
Everyone brings something to the party.
Let me know what designs you want, and then I can sketch something up.
Right. Should we...
I think... Has anybody else got any more pre...
I mean, the only other thing I was really doing pre-lap was obviously I want to expand my soft gear a bit.
Oh, right. Fun,
yeah. And those trousers I got...
You know what?
I love them.
I'm thinking they were proud.
They were like, gloriously brown. You know what I mean?
Basically, they were like bright orange brown.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to save those, and also the satiny shirts that I ordered. That's the problem with Wish.
We mentioned Wish in like the first one, and it was like, if you want to just get down to one event and you're like, you're not sure about it, then fuck it, right? Yeah. Like, go for it. But some of the stuff, the trousers are still pretty good that we got some of those trousers, but the shirts are complete garbage.
Yeah.
Like, having been a while now, and this isn't like, if you have this stuff and that's your only kit, I'm not giving you grief at all, right?
Oh, no.
This is just from my point of view. Like, I'll happily RP with anyone that's wearing that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But from your point of view buying it, just be like,
I think it's great for your first event.
Yeah.
But you have to buy it with like the idea of this will break down physically. It'll rip, right?
And
like,
all of that.
I'm going to be saving those trousers for my next character. Basically, I don't think they suit my character.
Great reserve kit actually, because it's obviously you want to take a bunch of different clothes with you, right? Because you don't want to be wearing the same stinky ass stuff every day.
Well, yeah. Depends on how much.
I mean, I have a lot of soft kit now though.
Like, I like using a t-shirt underneath.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
And then most of my kit isn't terrible by the end of the weekend. I probably smell awful.
Yeah.
But,
The tent must reek.
Oh, I probably fucking hum. Because, like, I tried the green shirt for the first day. It's like, And just went back to my usual standard.
Mm.
Got a decent, like, massive fucking black undershirt that goes under the armour. And I pretty much have the armour on all the time anyway.
Yeah. I mean, just sorry if you happen to be near us and you have a sensitive smell.
Yeah. But
that's just something that you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
Ask us to leave. Right, are we done?
Pretty much.
The only other thing was the whole sort of documentary that was going to maybe take place.
I feel like we'll save that for the main LARP because we shouldn't start that story without going fairly down the road.
Fair enough.
Let's wait.
Did you pick up any kit between?
The only thing I did pick up was some metal gauntlets that Ian gave me.
They look boss.
Okay,
they look really
boss. I have lots of things to talk about with those metal gauntlets.
We'll get to that. I think they'll save that because that is in the LARP. So
yeah, good. All right. Needless to say, like honestly, we haven't really hyped it that much, but this one was awesome.
This was the best one. Bear in mind, number one will always be special.
But
this was the best one from my perspective.
So tune in next time. Oh, one thing before we go, right? Sorry.
Bait and switch.
I've been trying to end this podcast for a while. Now I'm just like, stop, there's more. I talked to a friend of mine, right? And he was just like, this is more podcast stuff. And he goes to me, are you going to monetize it? All right, are you going to monetize the podcast? And I was like, no, this is art. You know what I mean? What we're doing here, it's just for fun. The idea of someone paying for it kind of takes away from what we're actually doing. This shouldn't be bought and paid for. You're here. It's free. Just if you want to listen to it, listen to it. If you don't, fuck off and do something else. It's fine, right? Everyone's a winner.
Yeah.
He went, do you want to monetize it? And then the day after he had that conversation with me, on the site that we use, Podbean, at the big bottom, there was just a big glowing sign saying, literally, get paid for your podcast. Click on this. So I was like, do you know what? Let's find out how much Dave Winpenny's soul is worth. So I clicked on it and then went through and it was like, so I typed in the details, how many downloads we have, how many episodes we're probably going to do a year and all this stuff. I hit enter. And this is adverts at the start, middle, and end of the podcast. Can you imagine how fucking awful that would
be?
Yeah.
Right.
Ruinous.
Appears on the screen a figure. But if you didn't think that you could get paid for doing podcasts, well, let me tell you a thing or two. Us chaps, we could be earning a whopping $6 per year.
Nice.
And I was like... Well, you didn't say $6. Oh my goodness! Wow. Time to get paid. You know what I'm saying? Oh my god! Like I'm gonna sell out immediately. Just to sum up what we're talking about here, I'm not gonna monetize anything. No, no. It's good. I mean, we have no affiliation with. One thing we should say is we have no affiliation with Profound Decisions who set up Empire at all. We have, there is maybe some stuff. I have talked to him a little bit now, so but we promise we will never be shills. We'll always tell you exactly what the fuck is up. So yeah, good. Right. Join us next time for the actual
laugh itself.
Good.
What? What is it? Why are your eyes bulging out like that? Well, spit it out then. Put your hands up slowly and don't make any sudden movements. You are the worst lookout, but I'm the one who did send a week on lookout. Don't be too worried, they'll probably want to cook us before they eat us.